speak Dutch to me. I reply to my son, who replies in English again, and we're a Dutch family. Recognizable for you that you speak to your child in your mother tongue and he answers back in another language. Hi, I'm Wendy van Dale. I'm the founder and owner of Dutch for Children. My team and I teach Dutch online to children all over the world. And this is our new podcast, Spreek Nederlands met me. What a beautiful day again this autumn in the Netherlands. The sun is shining, unbelievable how good. And we got a great guest today, Jori van Zon, who honors your name today. Welcome, Jori. How is
Thank
the weather?
Thank you. Good. like you said, it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. It's actually really cold this morning. So my kids had to put on their winter jackets and their gloves and yeah, had a bit of a switch, but it's beautiful. Love it.
Great. Great to hear. Jori is a business coach for coaches and therapists. She's an expat child herself, lived abroad from her 6 to 16 years, and now lives in the Netherlands with her own family. Welcome, Jori, again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did I forget something in my introduction?
No, absolutely not. No, thanks.
That's great. Let's start with all the questions I have for you. We want to share your experience with our listeners. Yes. Could you share a bit about your childhood abroad and where was abroad?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we left the Netherlands when I was 6 years old. I just turned 6. So I only did Dutch school for 2 years. So groep 1 and groep 2. So I was really little. Then we moved to Switzerland for 3 years. So I went to actually a local French school for a year. Oh, wow. So my second language is French, but that was just for a year.
Yes.
And then we were going to get relocated again. So my parents decided to put us in an international school so we could start learning English.
Yes.
And after those 3 years, we moved to Indonesia and we lived there for quite some time. Actually, I lived there for 7 to 8 years and always went to international school.
Yes.
And when I was 16, I moved back to the Netherlands and went to a boarding house to finish school here because the school there wasn't sufficient enough if I wanted to get my European university degree level. So my parents decided, just like my other siblings, we moved back to a boarding house and finished our international school here in the Netherlands.
Wow, what a journey, what a journey.
Well, it was a lot of fun. So people are always just like, whoa, that's messed up for a child. But we actually, I had a really good time.
Oh, that's very good to hear. We'll get back to the time you went to boarding school. It's very interesting. Yeah. But first, how did your parents keep up with the Dutch language and the culture?
Or
didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. My mom was really focused on that. So when we first moved abroad, we actually had a rule that at home we had to speak Dutch. For the first year, it worked a little bit. After the second year, not so much. And the third year, it was actually 50-50. But my parents themselves were very consistent in speaking Dutch with us. So they actually always spoke Dutch. And sometimes we would reply in English or different language. But the main thing was Dutch. With my siblings, actually, that totally switched.
Yes.
We spoke a lot of English between us. And we actually still do. People always think we're weird when they hear us talk because we switch mid-sentence with languages.
To English, yes.
English or back to Dutch. That's what we, that's normal for us.
You're used to that, yes.
Yeah, and the first years, my mom did some homeschooling with language.
Okay.
So, like, actually, that's why I love so much what you do. What you do, we had to do ourselves, which was really tough as a kid because I had to do, next to my normal homework, had to do my Dutch lessons homework without a teacher. And, of course, my mom was there to guide us, but it's still different.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and they used to always stimulate us as well to read Dutch books. Read Dutch magazines, that kind of stuff. So if we went on home leave once a year, we would pack a lot of new books. That was our way. But yeah, of course, with just a few books is not enough to keep up the Dutch language, the grammar and the spelling, and it's not enough.
No. But for the tradition or the culture side, what did you do?
Lots and lots. Yeah, my parents were very much into that. My mom actually, because we used to do all the Dutch holidays, like Sinterklaas was super huge, even if we were abroad. My parents would make like this whole thing fuss about it. It was so much fun. And Christmas, we also did the Dutch way with New Year's. Of course, my mom, it doesn't matter in what country she lives, yeah, every year she makes oliebollen, even if it's 35 degrees outside, she doesn't
Fantastic.
Care. It's like a thing. And yeah, that was our way of just keeping the Dutch culture alive, actually.
That's great. Can you remember how other people reacted to the, this tradition, or did you do it just inside the home?
No, actually, the international school that we used to go to was very oriented, of course, with the international community. So we had a lot of multinational events and things, and people used to love the food. And yeah, the holidays, of course, like Sinterklaas, that wasn't really like, that wasn't really a big thing. That was just more of the family, or yes, with the expats living in Indonesia that also were Dutch.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think people loved it. They loved the Dutch food. And yeah, I'm talking about the sweets and the kind of stuff like the stoof.
Yeah, I was, all that I kind was of just, thing.
I just that's like what they love. Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
And the rest was, of course, very difficult to get. So that was, yeah, back in the day when you didn't have a lot of international stores or a lot of, yeah, it was very difficult to get. So yeah, we had whatever we took from home once a year, and yes, that was it.
So you had extra suitcases when you returned from
for the hagelslag.
Hagelslag. Oliebollen mix, or did your mom make them?
No, my mom made that from scratch. No, she found her stuff just wherever we lived. No, but my parents were also very much into the, okay, we decided to move to a different country, so we're going to adapt to the lifestyle there and, yes, to the things that are available to us there, and, yes, just a little extras. So the focus was more on, yeah, language stuff, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And last thing about the culture, what kind of stuff did you take over from the country she lived in, family wise?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I think it's still our love for the food, actually. The Dutch people are very, the way we were brought up anyway, with my grandparents and everything, are very not so open and social. So if you have a coffee, you can have one cookie, or if you get invited to somebody's house, it's always without food or dinner. And that completely changed in our family. It's always with dinner, and we have an extreme love for Indonesian food. Of course, we're very spoiled when it gets to Indonesian food. That's, yes, still a thing.
Yes.
And I was away with my sisters a few weeks ago, and then yeah, we always go have Indonesian food because it's so good. And it makes us feel like back in the day. So
back in the days. Oh wow, nice, nice. On the part of the Dutch language, do you remember any specific challenges you faced in maintaining the Dutch?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was quite, you know, the longer you live abroad and the longer that Dutch is not your primary language. Well, is it your primary? Yeah. Yeah, at home it was, but
it becomes your second. It becomes your second. Yeah.
Yeah. But when we went back for holidays or to visit our family, then of course at some point it's very difficult. You have to you start thinking in a certain language, so you have to continuously switch back to the other language if you want to talk to your family or your friends. Or well, we had very little friends back there, back home, because we had been away for so long.
Yes.
But if I look at our family and that kind of stuff, that was quite difficult. But even when I moved to the boarding house, it was a Dutch boarding house. So the main language there was Dutch.
Yes.
And even there, you were surrounded with expat children. So everyone was speaking English. But having to get my first job, or when I was studying, I had extra job, that kind of stuff that was in Dutch. That was quite very difficult, because I think in English. I still do math in English. It's so...
Yeah.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. So okay, so when you were there, it was all fine. You were in the family, there was Dutch, and outside it was finally after French, English. And then when you made the transition to the Netherlands, the gap affected a little bit your...
Yeah, absolutely. And when I was still doing my international education, finishing high school, it was fine because everything was English, and I did have Dutch lessons, but that actually didn't really help me, because it was more focused on reading stuff. So the thing I needed was grammar and spelling. So when I finished high school, that's when actually the tough part started, when I started studying in Dutch.
Because you told me you went to the University of Applied Sciences in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And Yeah, then I can imagine what kind of challenges in a
Yeah.
university, what
Yeah.
do you encounter?
It was an absolute shock. I was really happy we had some English study books because that
Yes.
was easy for me. But having to write papers, having to do tests, having to do exams, for me, it always felt like they weren't challenging my knowledge, but they were always challenging my Dutch language skills. And
Yes.
that made it really difficult. And sometimes still is. My husband sometimes still laughs because I get double negatives, I get them wrong, or my kids are in a phase right now that they have more grammar skills than I ever had. So they're teaching me. And that
Yeah.
has always been a thing. And it's always been, I had to learn the hard way. And I truly believe that if that had had more attention, that it would have made it so much easier for me and would have also improved my results.
Yeah. So how did you feel about the last part? That it didn't help you in that way?
Well, at that point, you do what you have to do. And if I look back on that time, I think it would have made my studying moments a lot easier if I had had those skills, because now I was busy all the time with the language part and not so much the study I was doing. And
Exactly.
luckily, I had a nice, I studied to be a registered nurse. So, yeah, that was, for me, it was not that difficult to do, but I had more trouble with the language part. And I think I could have accelerated even more if I had had more of that knowledge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And did you have resources to fill the gap, or was it too late?
Too late, actually, I think. Yeah. And it still is. If I now try, of course, people are like, okay, why don't you try and gain those skills and start educating yourself again? It's so much more difficult because the moment I think, but that's more your department of when a child brain develops and language, I think that's more in the past than if I try to teach myself all that right now.
Well, it's a very hard job when you're at your still young age, but in comparison to the children. So this is really true. I want to use a little bit of your third culture kit experiences
Oh, I love
to
it.
help
Yep.
help our listeners understand a little bit more about our Dutch culture.
Yeah.
Views from another perspective. When you came back, did you have another perspective on the Dutch culture? You told us a little bit already about, when you're inviting people at your home, they can't stay for dinner. You get more than one cookie when I visit you.
We just have lunch.
Exactly. But something more, something.
Yeah, actually, it really is. I think because if you're, we always say third culture kids, third world country kids, that you have a very different look on the world. And you know that the way that things happen at your house is not the norm. And that every culture has its routines. And that if something is normal for me, it doesn't necessarily mean it's normal for somebody else. And I actually found that the Dutch population, for me, it really came on as really harsh. They're very, that's of course generalization, but
It
very
always
less
is.
open to different cultures or different understandings, or seeing that people from a different culture have different norms and values. And yeah, I think that's also right. Also the reason why my kids now attend a primary school that has a very large international community, because I'm very much convinced that it's important for them to know that the way we do things at home is not the it's our norm, but it's not the world norm. And they can learn so much from other countries and other cultures and other families.
Yeah, I totally agree. And
Yeah.
sometimes it's sad to hear back from expats.
Yeah.
They thought the Netherlands were so open and international. We are in a way, and we are not in another way. Yeah,
Yeah,
so.
they are, because a lot of people speak English. So people are like, oh, they're international. But some of their views, and that's, of course, once again, not everyone, but it's
Oh.
very, sometimes very selective. And yeah.
Yeah, I understand. And of course, I'm also interested in your business life. Did it affect your coaching? Do you use multiple language or cultural views or something that's
Yeah.
coming from your time
Yeah, good
abroad?
question. Yeah. I think people sometimes find it annoying because if I get really excited, I switch mid-sentence, but I use English words, and
Yes.
not everyone is used to that. So they're like, hey, is this a hype or is it? No, it's just my primary brain. And no, I'm always very much open to the whole international part of it. At the moment, I haven't had coaching jobs in English yet, but I'm sure that'll happen at some point. For me, it's very absolutely okay. That's also because I communicate in a certain language.
Yes.
And I always stimulate people to have a wider view than just what's right in front of them. You know, open your eyes and see what's more.
Okay, thank you. And about, for example, do you use coaches all around the world as examples for your coaching, or maybe a method, or?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I do have that. I refer to a lot of international coaches and therapists because I think it's very inspiring to see what works in a different country and to implement that knowledge to see here. So I absolutely do. Yeah.
Are you experiencing at the moment difficulties with the language, things you say?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's, I think, also kind of, sad, because people actually comment on it on my social media, or that I have a lot of spelling mistakes or grammar mistakes, or that it's not perfect. Mm. And I think that is because I never learned or didn't learn enough to make it perfect at the moment. And that also makes my job sometimes a little bit, makes it a little bit difficult, because if I have to write a text, I have to read it like 3-4 times, and then it's still there's still mistakes.
Yes.
And of course I could hire a copywriter and ask somebody to read all my text for me, but that's just doesn't work for me, because it takes so much more time. So I decided, okay, this is just what it is, and I learn as much as I can from the people around me, and step by step it should be getting better. And but that could have been prevented if I had a little bit more knowledge back in the day. Like the example people, what they do is that they stick two words together in the English language. We're used to having words, you separate actually each word.
True.
And in the Dutch language, you stick as much words together as possible.
But even in Dutch people have problems with that. But if you're, all our English speaking students have this problem.
Yeah.
Oh, why is it separate? Together. Yeah. Sorry. That's Dutch.
Yeah. It's Dutch. Yeah. So, but it's just those little things that if you don't know or don't realize, or if you're not a native speaker, it's very much more difficult.
Yeah. Well, how do you cope with the comments? You're okay with it now? Or
The first time I was really a little bit, of course, I was sad about it, because I was like, okay, you know, I have so much knowledge to share with you and so much energy and enthusiasm and inspiration. Yeah. And you're focusing on the fact that my post on social media not perfect when it gets to the Dutch grammar. Really? Are you kidding me? Yeah. But apparently there's people online who have the necessity to correct my language. And okay, so be it. If you don't have anything to do, then thank you for taking the time, right? I mean,
I think it's sad. But anyway, thank you for the example. And
exactly. And like, when I move on with my life, I don't let it like get to me. No. Or you know, because it's not worth it. And of course I could choose to take a course and start learning, fixing my grammar and my spelling and that kind of stuff. And it's not a nightmare, it's not like super bad, but it's just like I said, the tiny little detail things, like sticking two words together, for example, that's just sometimes, doesn't happen.
Yeah, but this is also online the problem, and the problem with the narrow-minded people, sort to say, part of the Netherlands have a group of narrow-minded people. My posts, when I have a mistake, there's always somebody who's on top of it, needs to express that
really
I'm wrong.
Intriguing. I'm like, how? Okay, yeah.
Anyway, now good.
Yeah,
but you have so much. No, it's good for you that you put your energy in the things you're good at.
Yeah, you know, you asked me before, like, does that have influence on my own business? And it absolutely does. You know, it costs me more time because I have to redouble check everything.
Yes.
And of course, it also the energy that goes into it. So absolutely.
Yeah, the lesson here is that if you're in front of all this, as parents, please think about the future. Sometimes it's hard, you know, you're moving to a country and you start a family there, you start to integrate there, most important thing first, of course. And then comes, Dutch language.
But that is exactly how it goes, you know, and I have all the respect for my parents because they did their utmost best to keep us into the language. So they did everything they could, teaching us, doing everything possible. And it just wasn't enough for me. I mean, there's more siblings who maybe have less trouble, but for me, it wasn't enough.
Enough. No. And every student is different in that way as well. Sometimes it's underestimated as well what you need in writing, in grammar, etc. to study here in the Netherlands.
Not very surprising. I'm more the creative type.
You are.
Yeah. Not so much into the.
Yeah. And now, of course, you are raising your own family. And how do you find yourself passing on specific elements of the Dutch language or culture to your daughters?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, well, actually, for me, it's that I realize that I speak English quite a lot, even at home or with my husband, or if I'm really annoyed. We always joke about it. My husband knows how annoyed I am if I switch to English. It's worse. So if I'm speaking Dutch, I'm still good. I
switch. He gets a really clear signal.
You can't second guess that one. No, and my kids are actually, I've been learning English from a very young age. But I do realize, even as a mom, that there is a big task for me as well to stimulate them to use the proper Dutch grammar and proper Dutch words, because my kids have a lot of international kids in their class, which is totally fine and I love it. But I do realize that there's a lot of more kids who are not native speakers, and that does influence their language skills, because when they are talking as kids, they don't use the perfect Dutch language because there's always grammar mistakes or that kind of stuff. And you do realize that in the interaction, because those kids are doing their best but have international parents who don't have Dutch as a native language.
Exactly.
And I think that has influence.
Yeah. So I'm curious, why is it that you speak English at home? I'm really interested.
You know, it's I don't speak English full time, but sometimes mid-sentence I switch because of certain words or things that happened Yeah, that's how it works.
Curious. I would like to see in all the homes language wise. Yeah, really? No, I love
would
it.
Laugh at our house, even if it gets worse with my sisters, but we do realize that the more that we've had a time that all four of us lived in the Netherlands, we had Dutch jobs and everyone spoke Dutch. And so we were speaking more Dutch. One of my sisters moved abroad again herself with her family. Yeah. They moved to Spain, and now her kids are going to an international school and they're speaking English all the time. So we realized that we're switching back to English way more frequently than we
understand. You're almost in the same situation as before. I understand that. Some situations trigger your English more than others.
You know, as a mom, I am worried sometimes, because if I have to, they're still 8, so they're in group 5 in the Dutch system, and they don't have homework yet. And, you know, there's going to be a time in like next year, the year after, that they have come home with homework, and I'm going to be the one that has to help them with their Dutch language and their grammar and their homework. And that is kind of a thing. One, I don't know the Dutch system for primary school. I have no idea how it works. Oh, of course, the big lies, but never experienced it myself. And having to help them, they have more. Yeah. It's going to be quite a challenge, I think.
How's this for your husband?
Yeah, he knows this part. He's like, okay, well, let's help each other out in that way. And he takes up on the stuff I don't know. And I'm looking at it like a learning lesson myself.
You can pick up things if it sticks.
Exactly. And so we're really, really conscious on that part, actually, that he also is very conscious about that part, that he's like, okay, that's not my strong spot. And so we're going to have to compensate that certain way, because I don't know if you talk about this in your podcast, but I think the Dutch system is really peculiar in their not primary school, but the secondary school. And that is that if you don't score certain tests on certain points, that has influence on the level of schools you go to. And I would think it would be very frustrating that if it's because of language or that kind of stuff, or because they don't comprehend the language skills, you get set back to a different level, even though your knowledge is way more ahead.
Very true.
That's not okay, you know. Okay. So I love the international system. You have one way, and
exactly,
that's it. You don't have a choice. If you don't feel like it, suck it up. That's what it is.
Yeah. And this is really true. And there will be an episode about this, the way we measure in the Netherlands, and it's the tests are so language based that in expert children, they score less because of the language. So is yeah. definitely
fair. I find it not fair because
no. It's something you have to know as a parent, and a lot of parents come to us with this question: how is this possible? He's so good in math. He's so good in biology, and then his language gets him down.
Yeah, that's exactly.
How can we change that? So
So good, you guys are here to help. Yeah, love it.
I think it's a great thing that you're a team with your husband. This is something that is not talked about a lot either, that there are two to tango in the family, and you need the support of your spouse for the keeping up with the mother tongue. And especially in families where the mother tongue is a different mother tongue. One with, for example, the Dutch, and one with English mother tongue, then you have to decide together, what do we do? How do we do it? Choose a way to get both language going and keeping it up to the level you would like to have it.
I think it's absolutely possible. And like you said, that it takes a time and you have to do something for it. It's not going to magically appear and be a good balance. Or you're not magically going to be able to do both grammatically correct. You have to learn and you have to teach.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you're like expats with a total different nationality and you're coming to the Netherlands, then inside the home, please keep your mother tongue up. Like we're now talking about you keeping up with your Dutch. I always tell people, please read, speak, watch shows in your language.
Yeah.
Outside the house, do the Dutch.
Do the Dutch language. That's a really great idea. Yeah, because you know, that's also a thing. Kids have so much to learn. They have to learn their mother tongue, which is not Dutch. Then they have to learn Dutch at school. And yeah, you know, as a kid, of course, their brains are super creative. And I'm always amazed as a kid as well. I learned a new language in like a few weeks. They're like, okay. As an adult, it takes a little bit longer than that.
This is so true. Even if you look up sometimes a lot of people ask me, how long will it take to get it? To that my child has the Dutch up to the level of the children in Dutch schools.
Yeah.
And when you try to find
statistics,
investigation or only about adults, and it's funny. It's funny. And it takes more time. An adult needs more practice, needs more. I mean that you have a lot of time hearing the language, interacting in the language. Yeah. Listening to podcasts, looking at television in Dutch, that you get like.
Yeah, you know what? I think as international, if you're living as an expat in the Netherlands, what's also rather difficult is even if you want to practice your Dutch language skills, everyone speaks to you in English, which is because they're comfortable with it. But also for you as expat trying to learn Dutch is really not helping you.
No, you have to be very persuasive.
Yeah, but also tell the people that you're practicing your language, and even if it's not perfect, you know, that it's such an automatic reaction to start speaking English, and they're not helping you.
No, and that needs a little bit of extra motivation on the part who wants to learn Dutch, on the telling the people.
Scary.
I really want to learn it. Please talk Dutch to me. And that's the name of the podcast. Degen Praat Nederlands met Mary.
I love it.
Actually, there are buttons for sale. I've heard from, I have to look it up, but that has a button that says, speak Dutch to me, please.
Oh, really? Oh, that is really funny.
I love it. Oh, it's in the international.
We should get some of those, man. That's really funny.
Yeah, it is. Okay, thank you so much. What advice would you like to give other parents who are currently living abroad, or Dutch expats, international expats who live in the Netherlands or want to live in the Netherlands?
Yeah. Well, I think on one part, it's really good to realize that if you have your kids in a Dutch school and you're planning on staying here for a longer while, and you're having your kids planning on staying in the Dutch education system, that it's really important to know that just going to school in Dutch is not enough for them to comprehend all the grammar and spelling skills, and that the system here, unfortunately, is made that it does have influence on their test results and has influence on their future education. And you, as an expat parent, of course, you're doing the best you can and all you can, and you have many jobs because you're maintaining your native language at home and you're trying to help your kids with the new language at school. And if you're not a native speaker yourself, it's very hard to help them on the grammar level so that it's enough for their future education. So, yeah, I think it's very important to realize that and to do something about it.
No, oh, thank you so much. Yuri, it was great. It was great talking to you, hearing your experiences. Is there something, I always ask this, that I forgot to ask, or do you want to add something?
No, thank you so much for having me, you know, and it's one of my passions as well, that the Dutch education system is just different than the international one. And that even if you're as an expat, I used to help a lot of expats here in the area. And if you're an expat, that's good to realize that it's different than you're used to at home. And it's a unique education system where language is a very large part and has influenced a lot on the rest. So I think what you guys are doing is absolutely great. And yeah, thank you so much for having me today. It was nice sharing my story.
Thank you. And a great ending of this beautiful podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day in the sun.
This was Spreek Nederlands met me. It was such a great interview. I think we can all relate as expat parents. It will inspire you to think about the Dutch for your children. What is your goal for them? Saying just hi and bye in the supermarket or greet Dutch neighbors? Or do you see yourself staying longer? You would like to become more proficient, integrate more? If you want to help them improve at making friends or maybe switch them to the Dutch school system, don't hesitate to contact us. We can plan a first conversation about the possibilities, free of charge, free of obligations. And we do not only look at the level of Dutch of your child, but also his proficiency in his interest and the goal he and you as parents have. Please let me know your thoughts. I will leave my email in the show comments. We are here to help you. Suppose you have friends who want to know more about learning Dutch for their children. Please, please don't forget to forward our podcast. We're going to talk about the education system in the Netherlands, the challenge you will find to help your child learning Dutch, and the recommendations and advice we have for integration in the Netherlands. Thank you for listening. Don't miss the next episodes, The Hidden Heartache of Moving Abroad, how we expat parents cope with the guilt of disrupting our children's lives.